I want to talk about Big Randy's game for a minute. You know the little bump shots he hits from just off the green? That hybrid might seem like an obvious idea now. Who wouldn't want the best parts of a long iron and a fairway wood mixed together? But before the first hybrid clubs went on the market 20 years ago, somebody had to invent that. And that's what Cooper has done with its new Discoverer Rugged Trek truck tire. Combining the improved grip and aggressive look of an off-road tire with a smooth, quiet ride of a road tire. The Rugged Trek is a hybrid that gives you the best of both worlds. It's an invention so good that in another 20 years, it'll just seem so obvious. All Cooper tires are backed by a limited warranty, a 45-day test drive warranty, and select products are backed by tread wear mileage warranty, helping to give you confidence on the road. For complete product and warranty details, please visit www.coopertires.com or www.coopertires.ca. And remember, go with the Coopers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Crash Course Podcast. I've got the big guy here. Randy, what's going on?
Oh my gosh, Neil. Not much. Just a pleasure to be with you. Always a treat to talk golf courses with my strap brother.
What are we talking about today?
We are going down to the cradle of golf, American golf, Pinehurst, North Carolina, and we're talking about the OG. Number one. The original. Numeral uno, Pinehurst number one.
It's a lot of history. A lot of history for golf in this part of the country. Do you know how old this course is, Randy?
Oh, gosh. Off the top of my head, what is it? It's the year 2020. I mean, definitely over 100 years old. Does it sneak back into the 1800s, maybe?
It does. 1895, when Pinehurst was founded, almost by accident, as a wellness retreat for the folks up north taking the railroad down.
That's right. Our guy Tufts.
That's right.
A big name around Boston.
And Pinehurst number one, was founded in 1897, when resort guests were spotted hitting white balls into the cow pasture. Founder James Walker Tufts asked a local doctor, Leroy Culver, to plot out the resort's first official holes for this emerging pastime. I'm getting this from golfpass.com. Randy, I know you love that.
Oh, of course.
Utilizing Golf Pass.
And I love citing sources.
Of course. And then guess who showed up in 1900 from Scotland?
Oh, I know. I know. The good doctor. They brought him in out of the bullpen.
They sure did. And he routed the 18 holes and became, I believe, like the kind of just godfather, superintendent, you know, master of everything down at Pinehurst. Welcome to Donnie's place.
The Dornick Cottage, if anybody ever has the chance, is beyond a treat. It is very cool.
But it sounds like number one was kind of already there, and then, you know, Donnie did what he could, and then number two, he was like, nah, this is my place now. I'm doing two. I'm doing three. Get out of the way. Here we go.
That two is truly Donnie's house.
Two is like welcome to Donnie's place in a big way. Yeah. So comparing, I guess, number one versus number two, what are your comparisons?
Yeah. Honestly, they're pretty stark. I think let's start with two. I mean, there's so much has been written and filmed on number two. Like, I've played number two, I think, three times, very fortunate, and it just beats me up. I'm constantly on defense. And it's just all around the greens, right? Those greens are so difficult. There's so much slope. I feel like I am always fearful that I'm going to make a wrong step and the ball's going to roll off the hole. And it's just like, oh, well, there's a double or a triple. And number one is nothing like that. Number one is, I mean, we've talked about it. It defines golf as a leisure activity. It is a nice walk. The greens are, you know, in comparison to two, not that punishing at all. Of course, there's still some interest in them, but number one is it would be a great course to play getting into Pinehurst day one, maybe a warm-up course, or like end of trip, like, hey man, we need some confidence back before we go home. get on over to number one. It's more about the walk. It's more about just decompressing, hitting some good golf shots. That's how I think about the two. Do you agree with that?
No, 100%. I got the sense that Pinehurst number one, you can feel the history. You're out there walking along the horse track, the equestrian center. I know you're a big harness racing guy, Randy. So we saw some of our dudes rolling around that track.
That's right.
A little faster than I expected on the harness track, out by number four, number five. And there are houses on the property, but at no point during our round did I feel hemmed in. There's a ton of width out there, and you feel like it's like, what, 6,000 yards, 6,100 yards, but you don't feel like it's a tight course. And when you compare that to number three at Pinehurst, I think that's, you know, those two are probably a better comparison. For being a very short golf course, it doesn't feel tight, which I appreciated. So I think the word leisure is definitely what defines Pinehurst number one and defines, you know, maybe golf when it started, right? Kind of like, hey, man, this isn't really a sport. This is kind of what we're going to do after we bet on the ponies and have a few mint juleps. You know, like, let's go out. That sounds great. I had a delightful time. We played a morning round. And I think I used the analogy with you that it felt like paddle tennis versus regular tennis. Of like, you know, let's just shrink the game a little bit. You're still going to get a little bit, like, we might work up a little sweat, but you know, if you want to have a couple cold beers while you're doing it, feel free. You know, it was a good chance to catch up with you and Double Bogey Dave and Ben, and I thought we had a delightful time out there. So overall, I agree with you. If you have the chance to, for two reasons. One, if you have the chance to play number one, it's great to squeeze in, kind of bookend a trip to Pinehurst. And two, I thought it gave me a really good sense of the history of the place, of like, hey, here's what it looked like 100 years ago. And it still seems pretty true to that. You know, even with some of the houses and even with some of the development around the course, especially on the back nine.
Yeah. And, if you're headed over that, the racetrack, there's an excellent little greasy spoon, breakfast spot in there called the track diner. You can't miss it, but, totally with you, but folks, for that reason, you know, just to really get the full 360 degree feel of Pinehurst, I think one is important to play for that reason.
And I also played our round with Hickories, which the resort will provide if requested in the pro shop. And I thought it was an awesome way to, you know, if the ballpark's shrinking, I need to maybe shrink, you know, roll back the technology on myself, you know, be the change you wish to see, Randy. And I felt like that also helped me enjoy the course, you know, enjoy the course more, I should say. The only issue I had with the set of Hickories I had a center shafted putter, which was really giving me some fits. I don't know how Zach Johnson does that. But it's also tough. Sometimes the Niblick can be difficult to chip with, you know, the all-purpose wedge.
It's hard to get in Niblick Nation.
It is difficult to get in Niblick Nation. So I was a little flustered around the greens. But otherwise I thought it was a delightful round of golf.
It was, you know, at no point during the walk are you going to get tired or out of breath. It's just a very nice walk. You hit some golf shots, you catch up with friends. Golf, I think you said it best earlier, golf as it truly used to be, and still is, but, all right, let's talk, do you have any holes that stand out to you? Favorite holes?
Yeah, I mean, one was the ultimate handshake. Big, kind of big, dumb and wide. Maybe not big, kind of mini, dumb and wide par four, you know, but with some good scenery, kind of down the hill. You got the horse track in the background, the water tower, kind of a really good warm-up hole. I really like the stretch three green into four when you play, like, four is the downhill dogleg right par four. Around the track. So you kind of get that feel of nostalgia there, along with some like kind of old school Donald Ross vibes where the fairway kind of drops down into a ravine and then the green site sits up kind of nestled into a hill. And I think number four and number eight both felt that way, where you're kind of hitting up over a hill or on top of a hill. And then you have this big, you know, 150 yard, maybe 170 yard shot into a green, but it's over fairway, but fairway that goes down at least 50 feet. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of hitting from high spot to high spot, which, you know, the more I play Donald Ross courses, the more I see how good he is at setting greens into hills and kind of up on the high ground. You know, we got to have that high ground, brother.
For sure. He knew it. He was no dummy.
Yeah. So I think my, honestly, and then I think 5-2 dogleg left, kind of shorter par four.
So that's six.
That's six. Okay. So yeah. I'm thinking of five then, which plays from the track. The hole I just described is number five.
Five. Well, so five is a par three.
Okay. I was right then. So number four was right. Then there's a par three, and then there's number six.
And six is one that I had written down as well. Sharp dogleg left forces you to make a decision off the tee. You know, I think total yardage from the back tees is like 375 yards. We were playing it. I believe we were playing one ups, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, it's a, you know, you can try to get really aggressive with a drive. You can hit three wood. You can hit hybrid. And then just a fun little green there.
But you better turn it over right to left.
Exactly. That's the whole key. And then there are, gosh, at least three, I think four little bunkers on the inside of that dog leg, making sure, you know, that it's not just an easy hit it wherever.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I wanted to call attention to was another par three, number nine. Just a short, from the back tees, it plays like 148 yards. So it's just a short iron. I thought that green was really interesting. It's kind of tiered. There's like a left tier and a right tier. And there's like some spines or humps going on in it. I just thought for having a short club, it was one of the more interesting greens on the whole course, I thought, and made for some really fun, interesting pin positions. The day we played it, that pin was like way up front, just over this bunker, that really required a good shot to get close to it.
Yeah, and also I think that hole was actually added later to the routing because you kind of have to walk to the green and then walk back to get to number 10. I think they squeezed it in because I'm not sure which hole. They had to take a hole for another course at Pinehurst. Mm. So that was added later on. I would say I preferred the front nine to the back nine. 18 was great. It was very similar to the 18th on Pinehurst number four, only this one was a par five, about the same length and very simple, you know, very short par five. And then the one over on four is a part long par four. So kind of a good juxtaposition of like the old, you know, the old school game versus the modern game.
Yeah.
And how it, you know, how you're going to set a course up relative to par, even though par is irrelevant.
All right. What else? Do you remember what you shot?
I shot an 86, which was
right.
Among the toughest scenes of the year. I mean, it was kind of, you know, day three or day four on our jaunt through Pinehurst. So I don't think we were out there trying to post a number, but what did we do, Randy?
We had fun
and we hit cups.
Oh, and we hit cups, of course. Strap boys always hit cups. Well, you saying how bad your 86 is really makes me feel great about my 87 with modern technology. So I appreciate that.
We did have fun though.
It was fun.
And yeah, I don't think we broke a sweat, which was great.
No, it was freezing. I don't think anybody in our group made a putt over 6 feet, 8 feet, something like that. Combined feet of putts made was not a big number.
Number one had some serious strap vibes, like first round of a strap trip, warm up round. But the greens had that ripper, grainy Bermuda vibe. Like they, mm-hmm. I kind of wish they would turn the greens up, or, you know, I think I was talking to you out there about how they could, with the greens being so flat, just make them like outrageously fast. But you know, I'm sure the members would hate that, and you know, it probably wouldn't be conducive to a good resort round. But the greens are pretty slow, so all those putts, like when they lose speed on that Bermuda, they just die very, very, very quickly, and they just rip left or they rip right. And so we were having a ton of problems. Me personally, with my center shafted putter, just finding the correct line Couldn't blend the line and the speed that day.
I hate when that happens. I
can't stand that.
Yeah, you're right about the grain though. The like slow grainy greens, I think, are the hardest to putt for me.
Yeah, and we run into that a lot with you know, our strap travels.
We're not playing a lot of like 12, you know, 12 on the stimp meter greens. All right, what else do we need to talk about here?
No, I think we kind of summed it up. I think this is a short, leisurely podcast for a short, leisurely golf course.
Yeah.
Right. Like would I recommend Pinehurst number one? I would, as part of, you know, a long day of golf. I think it's a really good way to, if you're racing daylight, you know, it's very interesting despite being wide and, you know, on the card and kind of out in front of you looking very easy. Like, you know, we both did not score well. Like we, you know, we struggled out there and, you know, all the information would say we shouldn't, which that makes me want to go play it again to figure out, like, did I just play horrible or, you know, is it really just some mind games around the green?
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. You know who played really well there?
Who?
My neighbor, Will Grimmer, shot a 59 in the North-South Boys Junior AM in 2013. Yeah. So if that makes you
feel any better. They turn the greens up for that.
Probably a bit, you know, probably a little bit.
Yeah. I think the other thing that would be cool if they did out there was just made the green, like doubled the size of every green. Just made it a giant tripping and putting contest.
Maybe that wouldn't be
true to you know, Donnie's vision, right? Or to history. But I think the idea of having like a really short course with just diabolical greens at Pinehurst is a kind of fits with the resort, right? That it's just like a giant chipping and putting contest.
Well, I mean, that we kind of mentioned earlier, like I feel like that's almost number three.
Yeah, good point.
You know, I feel like the greens at three are much more similar to what you'll find at number two. And it's even shorter, of course, than number one.
Yeah.
And I love three.
I would recommend both of them. One,
but yeah, they're both great buffer rounds when you're presumably playing two and four as well.
Have you played them all?
No, gosh, no. I think I've played one through four, and then I think I played number eight, but it's been years and years ago.
Yeah, I'm one through four, don't have five or six or seven, played eight, don't have nine.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, there's a 10th coming, I think. Or
that's the word. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, I think that's it, man. Always a pleasure chopping it up with you, big guy.
Yeah, you too. Was a fun day. Was a great walk, and I think we did the spirit and vision of that early Pinehurst, you know, philosophy. We did it justice with just some leisure golf, hitting balls, taking a stroll.
Love it. See ya.
All right. See ya.